You're listening to The Juicy Details. My name, of course, is Juicy Pat Lucy, and this is episode 55 as a part of Podcasters Month. To reiterate, Podcasters Month is where I interview people like myself who were stupid enough to start a professional wrestling podcast. And joining me today, very special guest, because he runs this website that you're on right now, K-Fave Sports Radio. So, in a sense, he's my boss. But just like my idol Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm going to tell my boss to fuck off today, because joining me right now is Justin Summers, the host of the Ohio Indie Report. How you feeling, Justin?
I think for that comment, I'm going to cut your pay in half.
I'm not getting paid much anyway, so half of nothing is nothing, I guess.
That's all part of the joke.
Yes.
I'm doing all right in kind of a bad mood because I will be missing Absolution, which will be my first AIW event that I've missed entirely since I started going to AIW, and that really, really, really bums me out.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sucks here, but, you know, the only bright side is you won't be seeing Tim Donst winning the title tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the literally the only bright side, because I know that that's what's coming, that's what I'm expecting, so when it happens, I can be like, well, at least I didn't have to see it.
Do you want me to chant fuck Tim Donst in your honor?
No, I don't chant anything towards him, I just turn around now, because that says the most that I can. Because actually, this is as far as what I've been told, people complained about things that I had said on the internet. Some of the things that I had yelled at him, and I was kind of told, you know, can you tone it down? And I don't like the guy personally, but other people do like him, so I'll just turn around. And I think that says a lot more than me even saying anything. So,
well, to be fair, what I've noticed in recent AIW shows is you're kind of gaining a couple other people on your side that don't like Donst as much anymore. Only a couple few, but I have noticed a couple other Chan Don sucks during the dueling chant thing, you know? So you're not alone on this one, I guess.
No, I'm not.
It's always a good thing, right?
Oh, definitely.
Well, Justin, let's start with the interview, shall we? First question I ask everyone is, how did you become a fan of professional wrestling?
For me, it's the story that I've always used is, a lot of kids around my age and everything, you know, their father would have some sort of sport that they watched, and they loved it like crazy, like football, baseball, basketball. You know, there's always that sport that it's that they pass along to their children. It's like, oh, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. You're going to be a diehard Cowboys fan. And just that lineage goes on. And for me, it was actually professional wrestling. It was always there. I remember going to church on Sundays as a kid and coming home and watching WWF All-American with my dad, and that's some of the earliest memories. Like, I remember watching it, but I don't remember really picking up on a lot of the storylines and everything until 1993 when Lex Luger slammed Yokozuna on that battleship, and that's when, like, my memory stuff, like, I really started, like, to dive into it more instead of just kind of watching it. And I mean, I've just been a fan for ever since.
All-American, I never even heard of that show. Was that like the equivalent of Sunday Night Heat back then or something?
It was on in the afternoon. It was back, you know, it was kind of the early days of Raw. Like, Raw started in 93, I do believe, 93, 94. Yeah, I think it was 93.
Yeah, 93.
And right. Yeah, early 93. And that hadn't, like, 100% picked up as the A show, you know, the top show. They were still doing, like, Superstars on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. All-American was on around noon. It had different hosts. At one point, I remember the hosts were Gorilla Monsoon and Johnny Polo, a.k.a. Raven.
Oh, I love Johnny Polo. That was one of his best characters, I thought. Like, just a step down from Raven, but still a very memorable character that doesn't get enough credit, I think.
Oh, no, he was definitely a Jerry the King Lawler, Bobby the Brain. He, you know, that kind of heel commentator. And it's kind of sad. I hate saying that it's kind of sad that he had to go more into wrestling, but Johnny Polo, as dumb as kind of the gimmick was, he was still, he still had memorable moments as being a manager. I remember, I think at one point he managed the Quebecers.
And, yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's one thing I remember. But then, you know, he wanted to go more into Raven and ECW, which is fine, but yeah, All-American was kind of, I want to say it's like, almost want to say it was like a review show. But it's back when WWE had a lot of just random shows like Livewire, which was another one of my favorite, not Livewire, Mania. Back when it was Mania, WWF Mania, and it was on Saturday, after, like, late morning. That definitely one of my favorite shows, and they just had it where they just had, like, all these random matches.
I always, I forget how many shows they had back then.
Oh, God. There was, at one point, I remember, there was a show on WGN, and it starred Todd Pettengill.
Oh, whatever, God, Todd.
whatever that show was called. And they basically noted the fact that that show was on, and then the next hour later was WWF Mania, or Livewire at the time, I can't remember which one it was, and it starred Todd Pettengill, and he'd be like, it would be like, alright, we're having this show, okay, we'll see you at Mania, and they would like continue the show, but some, I think some of the stuff was the same thing, but it was back when, as a kid that I was like, I just had to get more wrestling, so even though I'd be watching the same match twice, I'd still watch it.
It sounds like they had plenty of wrestling for you back then.
Oh, plenty.
So, who were some of your favorites growing up?
The top two of my favorites of all time were just Bret and Shawn. They, like, the New Generation era is by far my favorite era. I'm not as glorified on the Attitude Era as everybody else. To me, it was that New Generation era that really got me hooked, and Bret Hart was one of my first favorites coming up. I mean, I also liked, you know, Razor, Undertaker a little bit, Tatanka, definitely, I love Tatanka. But Bret, you know, being the champion and being kind of that good guy hero, you know, kind of followed him. And then the upcoming of Shawn Michaels, I really loved, you know, back when he had, like, the click cam and all that kind of stuff. And when it came to those two at WrestleMania, March 31st, 1996, my 10th birthday, I got to watch them at the main event WrestleMania and Shawn won the belts. I loved it.
96, that was definitely the year the World Wrestling Federation definitely picked up some steam, especially with WrestleMania. But 95, you gotta admit, looking back, that was probably one of the worst years they've ever had.
Yeah, that was kind of in between everything with Bret and everything with Shawn. When Bret was there, but he wasn't as, I don't want to say as popular, but like he didn't have that momentum that he had, so that's when they started to push Shawn. I do remember WrestleMania 11 not being that great. Some could say it's because Diesel, Kevin Nash was champion, but I don't know. I liked it at the time, but obviously you go back and you realize that was probably the worst year of the New Generation era.
And that was the year King Mabel won. King Mabel was
King Mabel.
Yeah, King of the Ring. Oh, Jesus Christ, what were they thinking?
At least the year before Owen won, which, I mean, as a kid, I will always say, Owen is one of the greatest heels of all time. I put him number two in my book. The way I do my greatest heels of all time, you have to be retired or haven't been wrestling for at least 10 years, so I automatically cancel out Hogan right now. But I think of the 90s, Owen Hart was just amazing. I think it was that feud that he had with Bret of brother versus brother, and me growing up loving Bret, you know, just kind of hating Owen, but you know, when he died, and after, you know, years later, especially getting into it more, like I look back and I'm like, Owen was absolutely fantastic, and there will never be a brother versus brother feud like Bret and Owen.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. I don't think Owen does get enough credit for being such an amazing heel back then, especially during his feuds against Bret Hart.
Yeah. There's nothing much else to say about that. He was a bad guy for like all of his career. I've often said if he didn't die, he probably would have turned face somewhere and been champion.
Remember one of the internet rumors was that Owen Hart was originally supposed to get the Game gimmick that Triple H took over. Like imagine that, Owen Hart the Game. Or the Game Owen Hart. I'm not sure if that would have fit well with him.
Yeah, I don't think that really fit his personality. I think if he would have taken the Austin approach as in just being himself, I think he would have got over as an amazing face.
So, well, let's get into more about the Ohio Indie Report, because that's why you're on here today, to talk about your podcast. I think you have, like, numerous other podcasts, but I want to focus on the Ohio Indie Report, you know? So, let me ask, how did this idea came about?
Oh, it's a very, very long story, and I will try to sum it up the best I can, but I never really listened to podcasts at all. Then I got my current phone that I actually still have, and it's right after it came out, the iPhone 4, and it had where you can download podcasts. I was, like, looking through, and I first ones I downloaded were some football ones, because I'm a big football fan, and I downloaded this columnist by the name of John Cann. He's one of my favorites, a great guy. He started up a podcast, and it went on for a couple months, and then he just didn't have enough time for it. It was him and another guy, and he was like, well, you know, I'm just going to stop it for now, and we'll pick it up later. And I really wasn't missing podcast, period. I like wrestling podcasts. And then I got a job in Cleveland area on the west side in Brooklyn. And I was going to go to the interview, and from where I lived at the time, it was going to be like an hour drive. So I was like, all right, I need to download something. I need just something to like listen to the whole way there. And I downloaded the AllWrestling.com Week in Review. It's one of the other podcasts that I'm still a part of to this day for the past 3 years. And I got hooked to listening to it. I started participating with them, met a lot of great people, and I started getting into other wrestling. My mind was very narrow. I was kind of a smart wrestling fan, but I was very narrow-minded, more WWE guy. I didn't really care much for TNA. I had no real big desire to watch indies. Talking to some people on there, some friends from England, one that actually Ben Ward knows, and it's kind of weird that I have a common friend with him from across the pond. And this one guy in particular, the one that Ben's friends with, is a big indie wrestling fan. He got me into it. Just some of the things he talked about, I remember him talking about Matt Cross, Johnny Gargano, Josh Prohibition, some of those names, and it was right around the time of, I think, Resolution 4, and Kevin Nash had wrestled for PWO. Well, that's when I decided, like, I'm going to start getting into it. I'm starting to watch. It was that and also listening to Colt Cabana's podcast of him talking about, because I was listening to some back episodes, and he'd be like, all right, I'm going to be in AI wrestling. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I need to check some of this shit out. As I was getting into it, I was starting to do my own podcast, and my friend, actually his name's PK, Paul, he had his own podcast at the time. I mean, I had a couple of my own. He had this one independent one. And I would kind of help me get into independent wrestling more. And when I started going to shows, he's like, oh, why don't you come on and, you know, we'll talk about the shows and, you know, some of the great things going on there. So I would talk about PWO and AIW. And it came to a point where my segment on there was called the Ohio Indie Report. That next summer, so right around the time of Resolution 5, I was on my other podcast, Anything Goes, which was at the time was on Blog Talk Radio. I was getting up the two last episodes for the year before I switched over to NFL Easy Picks to talk all about football. One of the episodes was an interview with Cleveland MMA fighter Jessica Evil Eye, but the other one was Justin Labar from WrestleZone, Chair Shot Reality, all that kind of stuff. And I had as a very, very special surprise that Aaron McGuire / Aaron Bauer come on, and I didn't even tell Justin about it. Shortly after that, Aaron got a hold of me. He was like, Jock wants to do a podcast. Do you want him on your show? And I'm like, I don't have one right now, my own, but I can get him on this other show that I'm on. You know, we can have it as a segment. He's like, hey, yeah, cool. And after I did that episode, I was kind of like, I want to have my own show. I want to take the Ohio Indie Report as a segment on this other show and turn it into my own show where I'm talking about anything going on in the Cleveland area that I can definitely attend. And I think Biggins said something to me because I asked him if he had heard the interview, and he was kind of like, if you had your own show, you know, it'd be like a lot easier for us to promote it. And I'm like, thought about it after a couple of days. I'm like, I could just start my own. So I went up on Podbean, and then from there, the rest is history.
So you chose to do the Ohio Indie Report, which, unlike most professional wrestling podcasts, you have, I don't want to mean this in the wrong way, but you have a limited audience or fan base, because you put your focus entirely on one section of independent wrestling, one state in the U.S., and you know, you don't reach as much of a audience as you would if you, let's say, talked about, you know, WWE Weekly or TNA, Ring of Honor, anything else like that. Is there a reason why you specifically chose to focus your intention on the independent scene in Ohio?
Well, it's very hard for me to keep up on all the other independents out there. I mean, you do a really good job you're getting a compliment from me, so definitely you're recording this, so you have record of it. Like, you follow a lot, and I've always respected that from you. But for me, it's much harder, so it's easier for me to go to these shows and keep up on them. And there's people out there not from this area that seem to have interest in it. There's people that I know from other podcasts who download Kayfabe Sports Radio on regular. And they have gotten interested in AIW because of me talking about it on other shows, me talking about it on my show, and having everything that I do on there, that it brought some other fans in. I think I had one other guy from Kentucky download a show. I don't know if one of my friends from New Zealand, I think he might have downloaded, but I know he definitely follows. He knows everybody. He's about as big as into indies as you are. So it is limited. I'm like a niche of a niche of a niche. You know, there's wrestling, and then there's a small part of that, the people that like independent wrestling, then there's a small part of that like Cleveland, and there's a small part of that like AIW. But, I mean, it is what it is, but then again, I don't do it to be popular. I want fans who are coming to the shows to listen to it, especially when I do the previews. I used to do the reviews, but there came to be a time when I just couldn't do them, and then I don't think I can do as well of a job as others, but I can help pump up a show, and that's one thing I love doing. It helps me get pumped up, helps anybody who's, I figure, going to the show get pumped up, because I've gotten compliments about that of, hey, you know, I listened to it on my way here, you know, it really got me really pumped for the show, and I'm like, all right, awesome, man, that's cool. So that's the kind of stuff I like to hear.
Now, let's get more to AIW, because nowadays, Ohio Indie Report, that's what its main focus on. You review AIW shows, and then you preview AIW shows, you have AIW guests on. In your opinion, what makes AIW such a unique company to follow nowadays?
I think it's the people that they get. They manage to get people from who are local. Granted, some of them are big names, but others aren't as big. And at the same time, they can bring in big names. But they don't go to the, how do I put it, people who are just, that travel all these shitty independent wrestling shows, and they're like, they don't get Hacksaw, and they don't get Demolition. I mean, they're great for like some shows from time to time, but they're not like, all right, you know, come see Tatanka. Come see Hacksaw. They're bringing in people who are more current. Buff Bagwell was kind of a swerve for me, but I think he was well worth it. Definitely enjoyed the Canadian Destroyer from him.
Everyone did.
No. Okay, here's a fun story. There's a guy who's on one of the other shows I'm a part of, the AllWrestling.com Week Interview, and the guy, if you were to have a conversation with him, you would put a gun in your mouth and want to pull the trigger because of some of the things that just so dumb. And he claims to be like, oh, I'm a smart wrestling fan, but he says shit that's so dumb, and he's seen the video of Buff Bagwell doing the Canadian Destroyer, and he was like, oh my god, he botched that. He could have killed the other guy. And I'm like, no, that wasn't a botch. Oh yeah, he put him wrong, blah, blah, blah. I took the comments that he had posted, and I tweeted them. Jake Clemens seen it. He started talking shit to the dude. And then Elgin somehow seen it. And he was basically like, it wasn't a botch. Maybe you should stop whining. It's So there is people. I mean, that's something that got to me, of someone who was just like, oh, that was so dope, spot. Just that I'm like, Ethan Page wasn't bitching. And professional wrestlers who are trained didn't say it was a botch. So who the fuck are you, dude? But that's going off on a tangent. Okay, back to what makes AIW so special. And I think another thing, I think it's the crowd. I've made so many friends going to shows. It is very much an ECW-like vibe there. And it's the best of it. The both worlds of, like I said, local names and bigger national, worldwide names. I do also like the fact that they stay in one spot. Granted, it's like a 45-minute hour drive for me, but it's something that I'm always willing to make that drive when I'm home. I know exactly where to go. I don't have to like look up directions. I know how to get there. So it's, I mean, there's just so much I love about AIW. Oh, and Beta Scott.
And besides, what other independent wrestling company out there has a fan like Matt Hackle at every show?
God. Oh, Matt Hackle. I want to get him on the Ohio Indie Report sometime, but...
did he see the video that Thor and Chandler tweeted out?
No, only thing I seen was the message of that he's sending Thorn of... wanting to make out with Sleazy's sister.
I believe it was Thorn. Yes, Thorn. This is what he tweeted. I invited AIW fan Matt Hackle to a party, and we taught him how to make love to a woman. And it's an Instagram video of, let's see, how do I put this lightly? Him on top of a woman with a dude on top of Matt Hackle. So at your own discretion, you can choose to watch it or not.
I probably watch it to get a good laugh because Hackle is the weirdest fan. You do the escapades and you need to just find the best battery possible, plug into a wall outlet. And when Hackle's speaking, just have the camera pointed on him because there are comments that he makes and everything that is just so funny. I think one of my favorites, he's wearing a Batista shirt and he's like, man, I hate John Cena. Man, he's so bad. Like he's saying all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, you're freaking like, you like Batista. Tell me the difference between the two. Oh man, Batista, he died. Like he just tries to explain stuff and like some of the words that he uses, Hackleisms are one of a kind, and that would be the highest rated episode of the Juicy Escapades if you just videotaped him for an hour.
I think he just gave me an idea for tomorrow.
Oh God. Especially if you get a good seat, have the camera pointed on him when Greg comes out.
Ooh, that's a very good idea. I mean, he asked Chandler Thorne for permission for that, but I should definitely try to get on that.
I think if you just pointed at Hackle,
yeah, right,
and like during the entrance, I would think they would let you. But that the only other video clip out there that would be worth seeing more is when that Corey guy jumped in the ring, and I forget which Krista was.
That was like your second AIW show, right? Second or third?
Second.
Second AIW show, you see a fan, jump the guardrail and get his fucking head kicked in. How about that?
And he's the only guy that I knew there. Like, we had some mutual friends, so I was like, oh, cool. And then when that happened, I was like, well, it's time for me to make some new friends.
It's funny too, because I would know some people who would like be done with AIW after that, but I'm glad you chose the opposite route of that.
I kind of had to. I kind of have this fear of missing out sometimes. So when I start going to stuff, when I start getting interested, I don't want to miss shows, so that's why it sucks that I'm going to miss Absolution. I think I'm going to miss the Gordo show, at least one of the nights.
Well, yeah, there's 30 of them, so, I mean, I think if you miss one of them, I don't think, you're be missing too much, you know, but I definitely try to make it out for one, you know, out of three.
Yeah, that's my plan. It's just when I'm being a truck driver and when I come home, I'm normally home for a 3-day weekend at the most. So for me to be home for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and go to a wrestling show all three nights and then leave back out on Monday, my girlfriend is not happy. She didn't like it when I went to the 2-day Jalen. I mean, she was okay because I was going to be home Sunday, but I can do one day. I could squeeze out 2 days, but 3 days, yeah, my girlfriend doesn't like that and puts me in a bad position.
I mean, you got to keep her happy, you know, that's the name of the game.
Oh, yeah, that's why I will probably miss at least one show, or I'll make one show. It's, I mean, that's months down the road. I might be able to squeeze more out of it between now and then, but.
Or maybe you would get fired, you know, so that's a positive.
Yeah. No. If I could find a local job, which is something I want to do, but maybe then I can make the shows a lot easier because I'll be around the Akron area all the time.
Well, I think we sucked AIW's dick long enough, so I want to ask, are there any other independent companies out there that you would like to start getting into more? Maybe companies that you've seen or even heard of that you would like to attend a couple shows or just start watching their DVDs more often? Any independent companies that you can think of?
There's a lot of places that I would love to be able to attend, either attend monthly, watch more of their DVDs, or watch even more of their TV. Like, I don't have enough time to watch Ring of Honor. And the fact that we don't live in a Sinclair area makes it harder.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And I can do the whole ringside thing. I did it at first when it first came out, but I just kind of got behind. But I'd rather have those on my DVR, come home, and just start watching them. Like, the company that I work for is based out of Murray, Kentucky. And I went down there for a... my orientation or something. I was there for a weekend, and I turned on the TV, and they had two channels that had Ring of Honor on it. I think they might have had three, and I was like, I want to watch this at home all the time. I mean, granted, I sat there and watched it that night, but I was like, I would love to be able to watch this every single week, and here's a place that has three channels that shows it. So Ring of Honor is high on my list. I've always liked what I've seen out of War. They're a little bit different, but I like them. Mid-Ohio is another kind of like local company to me, and Akron. I always like it when they have some nice names that I know, like Matt Cross. Duke's been down there a lot lately. Boone, I love Boone. Boone's an awesome, awesome guy. And definitely IWC in Pittsburgh. I've always seen a lot of their shows. Actually, that would have been my first show I ever went to back in 2011, I think it was, when they had Sonny on the show. And I had heard about it. And I was a big fan of Sonny. And I have an old shirt of hers, and I have the Raw magazine. I wanted to get them both signed.
Did that happen?
No. At the time, I didn't know much about independent wrestling, and I didn't have that drive. I mean, granted, like, the third show I ever went to was Girls Night Out, and I went alone. And from that point on, I was like, I'll go alone because I want to see the product. At that time, I had never been to an independent wrestling show. I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't want to go alone, trying to find people to go with me, and either people had plans, couldn't afford it, and it's definitely, like I said, definitely a show I wanted to go to, and I've looked back at that flyer since then, and I think Shima was on it, Facade was on it, a few other names that I now recognize, but Sonny was the main reason why I wanted to go. I mean, there's probably other companies too. Like, I've always liked a lot of Beyond. I liked a lot of Interspecies, at least either what I hear from them, some of the people that come in and out of those. Yeah, it's always fun to expand my horizons too.
Are you still a big fan of Sonny today?
I mean, I like her, but I'm not going to buy the naked photos
of
her.
Yeah, don't do that.
I mean, if or go and get the picture of taken with like in the bed with her, like. And the shirt that I have, it's like her in a bathing suit, but the only reason why I have it is because back in like 2004, I bought a original DX shirt. This was before they reunited. So it was that the classic D-Generation X on the front, two words suck it on the back. I bought it off eBay, and the person who sold it threw in this Sunny shirt, which was a totally different smaller size, but I kept it because I was like, oh, it's kind of cool to have, you know, it's Sunny. And then later on, I bought on eBay the Raw magazine with her in it because I had it as a kid. I had it in the fifth grade, and because I was a WWF magazine subscriber, they sent me that one for free. I made the big mistake of taking it to school the next day, and I got caught with it by the principal, by the teacher, and I think actually was a friend of mine, took it out of my book bag, teacher took it from him, took it to the office, and then I got in trouble, and then I couldn't have it back, period.
Oh, that's bullshit.
So I was like, I want that. Yeah, so I was like, I want this damn magazine back. I like that magazine. So just to get part of my childhood back, I rebought off eBay.
Was it
and I thought it'd be cool.
Was a teacher or principal a guy?
No, she wasn't.
No, because my first thought was if it was a dude, then he probably just kept it to himself.
You would think that, but no, I think she just threw it away.
Bitch. going from Sunny back to the Ohio Indie Report. Next question: who have been some of your favorite guests you've had on throughout the years of the Ohio Indie Report?
I haven't had a whole lot.
I mean, but you've had a couple, right?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, obviously, if I'm going to go with anybody who's been on it, my favorite is Veda
Scott.
It's all
coming my old way.
She is, yeah, because well, she's been on twice, and after she did the first one, I thanked her. Like, personally, that's one thing I do. After you've been on my show, if I'm going to see you at a show right after that, I'm going to publicly thank you, personally thank you. And I thanked her, and she was like, oh, glad to do it again. And I was like, okay. Like, let me try to work this out. Like, try to figure out time when I can have you on, and I don't sound like a total idiot.
I don't remember you thanking me publicly.
I did, but you just don't remember. I think you got hit in the head with a chair or something that night.
Oh, of course, you're right.
You know, we had to rush you to the hospital. It's that amnesia thing, Pat. So you got to worry about that. But the one thing I will say, I mean, I was going on a wrestling side, but I do like the fact that I do, and something that we talked about through messages the other day, and of like, I do love having fans on. Like, if I did an Absolution preview, you know, it would have been probably, like, me, Dustin, maybe you, or maybe Laporta. Because Laporta had been kind of getting on me about, oh, let me get on. And I've won, one way or another. I'm going to find the right perfect show. I'm going to have Hackle on. Even if it's just for a segment. Like, we'll talk about Greg. And just have him on, talk about
just make that
shit.
A weekly segment. Just have Hackle. Like, remember what the WWF did back like in 97 with Jim Cornette, and like every week on Raw Jim Cornette like did a shoot on WCW. Have that just with Hackle each episode, and have him just rant on Greg Iron or anything else. I mean, it'll mainly be about Greg Iron, obviously, but it can be about anything. Just give him like 10-15 minutes each week, and then that's gold right there.
I think that would be called Hackle Shoots Himself.
That's a very good title.
But yeah, that's one thing I do love having. But Veda Scott. I mean, how can I go wrong with Veda Scott?
Are there any other wrestlers that you would like to have on as a feature guest?
There are many, but it's when it's perfect. I like to talk about storylines that are going on, and I don't want to like ruin certain things by having them on, so I try to get people on at the right time.
So who's at the top of your list? What do you say?
Well, here's the thing. There's a show that I'm working on. I haven't got the full everything of putting it together, and it's called Question Kayfabe. It would be like an interview show, but I want to be able to do not just talk about wrestling, let's talk about you as a person. Let's talk about things that interest you now. Like, for example, my first guest when I fully kick this off will be Gregory Iron. Because me and him have certain things in common. Like, we can talk about wrestling and whatnot, but then I can go, I mean, granted, I'm going to speak gibberish to you for a second, but I'm going to go Ghostbusters. You know, we can talk about Ghostbusters and everything about Ghostbusters because we're big Ghostbusters fans, but I like the first movie more and he likes the second movie more. So it'd be fun to get into that conversation and to get into more. I think the same thing with Johnny Gargano. But instead of that, maybe talk about some other stuff that he's into. I know he's a big sports fan. He likes football like I do. So it'd be fun to get into that. And one of my top people to have on one way or another, and he's a guy who's committed to it, but it's just actually saying, okay, I'm going to record this. When are you ready? And that's Marion Fontaine. Fontaine,
top I've had him on twice, and he's a great guy to have on. Definitely, if you can work that out one way or another. He's a very well-mannered guy. I've said that on my podcast. He's the most well-mannered guest I've ever had on, and he's just a very great person to talk to about anything, I think.
The thing that I love about him, and it's one of the things that really got me into independent wrestling, is when I first started watching PWO with him, he just played that heel character. And I mean, just getting into it, I'm like, I didn't like him. And then I started going to an AIW show, and he was this totally different character. And this is before he did the whole 1920 old school thing. It's when he was just kind of like this fun-loving guy. And I was kind of like, this is the same guy who's a heel. And that's when I really, really started to respect him. Because it's a guy that was playing two different characters. I mean, granted, now I love that heel character that he played in PWO and Prime. It's one of a kind, and I'd love to see it again, but I think he had the right cast around him. He was doing the storyline up against Authority with Justin LaBar, and that was that part of the thing that just pulled me in. He's just by far one of my favorites, and I've always said him and Eric Ryan are two guys who can play totally different characters and really pull it off.
I agree on that for sure. So, what do you think the future of the Ohio Indie Report is? I mean, do you see it going on for another year, let's say, or do you think you might want to transition into? You know, like you were saying, you might want to start this other podcast. The kayfabe question, do you think you might want to try to transition out of Ohio Indie Report anytime? Or do you think Ohio Indie Report is, here to stay?
Ohio Indie Report's here to stay because right now, I mean, granted, my whole intention was to go to these other shows and blah, blah, blah. And then right after I started the show, my life really changed and particular jobs that I have now that I'm going across the country and everything. Now it's dwindled down to just AIW, even though I still call it the Ohio Indie Report. I do try to support any other companies that I can through the Twitter account. It's not easy, but it's basically Ohio Indie Report is the unofficial podcast of AIW right now, of me doing pumping up the shows. I mean, I'm not in any way official. We're not affiliated, even though it was kind of weird after I took over. Tweeting duties and doing the show, I win the gauntlet for the Cage and the J-Lit tournament back to back.
Yeah, and that's not a coincidence, right?
Oh, but you are the attest to at least the J-Lit, because we were out in the parking lot. And I've told this on my show. We were going over it, and I was like, "Yeah, it's going to come down to Chris Dickinson." BJ Whitmer, second round. And it's going to end, like, I'm like, there'll be some way it's going to be a draw. And you were like, why would they do that? And I was like, you know what, you're right. So I had the mindset that it was going to end in a draw or something like that. Double count out, something. Double DQ.
You were right about that. I did not see that one coming.
So at least I have that, so it was... At least my thoughts were somewhat legitimate, and it was kind of by luck that I won both of those. And so, going back to everything, I will stick with the Ohio Indie Report as long as I can, and then Question Kayfabe will be something that I do on the side from time to time. It's going to be fun because come September, that's when I really start to get busy. There's a bunch of other shows that I'm a part of. I could go rattle off a list of them. Some are on Kayfabe Sports Radio, some aren't. And I'm going to be bringing back NFL Easy Picks to talk about the football season. That goes on until February, and that's a weekly show. So I'm going to be busy, but I'll still always make time for the Ohio Indy Report.
Well, you sort of brought it up. Is there a reason why the Ohio Indy Report isn't the official podcast for AIW now? Because I feel like I think you and Chandler and John, I think you could work out something where it could become the official podcast for AIW. And maybe, I mean, since AIW is practically the only thing you cover nowadays, I mean, any thoughts of changing the name, you know, to like the Absolute Report or any, or something like that?
If they wanted to come to me and said, you know, we'll back you, I'll do it. But knowing how they are, they won't. They like everything the way they have it. I know they did try their own podcast with that guy, that blind guy out of California or whatever.
Right.
And I don't think it lasted long because I don't hear much about it. So I mean, I'd love to if they came to me. I mean, I'll throw it out there, and this is my personal opinion. I have nothing else to back it up. I've said it to people discreetly, but me putting it out there, I don't think John Thorne likes me.
You don't?
I do not think he likes me. Which, I mean, it is what it is, but I think they do like my money. I'm a loyal fan, and they respect that. But I mean, that's my own opinion. It's kind of the vibe that I get. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be right. Do I care if he doesn't like me? No. But I have nothing against him. I mean, I don't think Ricky Shane Page likes me either. I know Mike Hopes don't like me, but we've been over this.
Now, why do you think Ricky Shane doesn't like you?
I offended him. Whether I don't think he keeps the heart, but I know I pissed him off at one point. It was, you might remember this, Gregory Iron's ex-girlfriend.
Oh,
you know
boy.
What I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
She always annoyed the piss out of me. She was dating Chris for a fellow AIW fan for a while, and then she left him for Greg. And, you know, that was kind of messed up on, you know, a little bit on Greg's part, but I put it mostly on her. I mean, she's the one that went for one or the other and whatnot, you know. And I always got this vibe from her. I'm like, you are a fake-ass wrestling fan. I don't believe it from you. You are this, like, fangirl who likes it because, like, I think it makes you cool or something. And she would always tweet about wrestling all the time, you know, she was dating Greg and Chris and whatnot. And then they broke up. And I didn't see a single thing about wrestling from her. One day she threw in an old wrestling DVD that she had. Like, she only had like 5 wrestling DVDs or something like that. And she watched those. So she threw that in. She was like, oh yeah, I love wrestling. And I'm like, no, that's when I had enough. I was like, no, you don't. You don't love wrestling. You like it. You enjoy it. You don't love wrestling. I love wrestling. You, Pat, you love wrestling. All, like, a lot of us, we love, but, like, you don't. And I fucking went off on her on Twitter. Ricky Cena, at the time, he was following me. He made a few comments towards me or something, or maybe made some comments about the situation. I tweeted him, sorry, and he's like, you better be, and then I always check who unfollows me, and he unfollowed me, like, some point after that, so I think I pissed him off. I don't think he takes it to heart, but I know, like, at that point, I offended him.
I remember back in 2011, maybe it was, I might have pissed him off, too, because the gimmick, I mean, the story was, that was when he became Ricky Shane Page and took off the Christian Faith mask. And I remember, it was either on Facebook or Twitter, I said, I like him better with the mask on, you know, I don't think this Ricky Shane Page thing's gonna go anywhere. And, yeah, just for a while there, I think him and even John Thorne gave me the cold shoulder there. But, you know, I was definitely wrong about that. I can publicly admit that right now. I was dead on wrong about that.
I still think my personal favorite story, this is going off on my own tangent because it just kind of reminded me about it. It was on the Ohio Indie Report last year for Absolution. Me and Dustin are talking about the card, and we call Russ Nasty Nate.
Really?
Complete botch on all of our parts. He heard it. And he had actually heard, like, because we've kind of had a conversation about this. When the Fuckets first came on the scene, I was like, eh, okay. I wasn't trying to bury them. Like, I hate these guys. These guys are stupid. I wasn't donsting him. I was like, nah. I'm like, I don't see it. I don't feel it. Like, to me, there was no promos. But recently, AIW's been posting, you know, a lot more promos from them, and I fucking love them. I'm seeing more of their personality, and that's what's really, really getting me interested is their personalities. And, you know, I've seen them at Jalen, and I was like, I'm like, you guys listen to my show a little bit, right? And freaking Russ was like, yeah, because you, like, I've listened a couple times, you bury us. And I'm like, that's like not that. I'm like, everything that I've ever said, just learn. I'm into you guys now. I love it. Like, I've seen the promos, and I'm hooked. This is what I like. I mean, that's what, and I just tried to explain to them, like, it was nothing against you. It was just, I saw what you did in the ring, saw a little bit here and there, but, like, there was nothing of your personalities, of your talking, that just made me go, like, hook into everything that you're doing. And now that I've seen it, I've seen more match by match, and, like, now I love you guys. And I think Team Money said something to me. It's like, sometimes you just gotta fuck it.
Sometimes you just gotta fuck it.
Something like that.
that sounds like something he would say.
I know, they should make it a shirt. Just fuck it.
And I'm gonna have them on, as of right now, I'm gonna be interviewing them tomorrow before Absolution. And I think on purpose now I'm just gonna call him Nasty Nate and see how he reacts.
Do it. Be like, well, this is gonna be on Kayfabe Sports. We kind of have this agreement that you're Nasty Nate on the show, so is that okay? I actually want to get them for a soundbite, because I'm working on building up my soundbites for the show, and I actually want to be like, say whatever you want, and if you even want to be like, fuck you for messing up my name, I'll record and I'll play it on the show just to laugh at everything.
I need to get more soundbites for the JC details. I really should.
Right now, I just finally, because I have old ones from Matt, Johnny, and Greg. I got some from JLit, but my computer that I normally use, the hard drive failed on it. Since was actually like right around the time of JLit, I haven't got to upload these clips, but I got like Vega, Colin Delaney, Fontaine, Bauer, and of course, Veda Scott.
Next time Cole Cabana's in town, I'm gonna try to get him. I mean, yeah, he'll charge me $5, you know, because that's what that's what he does.
Fifty.
Or 50.
I tried to get a soundbite the second show I ever went to. That was actually the show that Corey got his head knocked off.
Yeah, because he was there, right?
Yeah, Cole Cabana was there, and I wanted to get him a soundbite from one of the other shows that I do before the Ohio Indie Report, and he was like $50. I was like, really? He's like, yep.
I remember my friend Ray, he had a show too, and he did ask Colt Cabana for a soundbite, and Colt told him he had to buy a t-shirt, and he did. Ray did buy it, and then he did his little soundbite recording.
He's a businessman. He's smart like that. Like, I kind of understand it, so... I want to get one next time he's around, and if I have to pay for it, I'll pay for it, but it's a Colt Cabana soundbite. If I was going to Absolution, I would try to get one from Kevin Steen.
Well, I mean, you're not going to pay $50 for Colt, are you? Five max, but 50? I don't know.
It's an investment.
$50 worth of investment, I don't,
I can plug it up that, hey, I got Colt Cabana on this episode, you gotta listen. And at the very end, I play the soundbite, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's Colt Cabana on the show.
Well, only if the deal includes at least one retweet from Colt. you gotta be absolutely clear about that.
Yeah, I could probably throw that in there. I mean,
there you go.
I mean, my picture did get retweeted by CM Punk once before, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. The pose photo with you and him, right?
Yeah, because I had on Matt Cross's shirt, yeah. And Matt Cross, he's seen it. He was like, "I want to use your picture as a promotion." And he's like, "Is that cool?" And I'm like, "I don't care. Go ahead." So then he did tweet. Because that was right around the time Punk had, like, hit a fan or something, or obviously everything of him being mean to fans or whatnot. And he was like, "Oh, don't believe all those stories about CM Punk wearing my shirt." And he's all smiles. And I actually do got a screenshot of it, like, it's saying, like, retweeted by CM Punk. And I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he retweeted Matt. I thought you meant he retweeted you.
No, I said he retweeted a picture of me.
Okay, well, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
So, no, that's a pretty cool accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To counterpoint, I got followed by Daniel Bryan one time.
Did he unfollow you?
Well, after a couple months, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. The deal was you had a fun Nigel McGuinness Kickstarter mm-hmm. for his documentary. Then if you sent an email... you know, with their receipt, then Daniel would follow you. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure he unfollowed everyone eventually.
He did. A friend of mine, the guy that I co-host NFL Easy Picks with, he did the same thing. Got followed by him, and then I remember him telling me, he's like, "Daniel Bryan unfollowed me today," and I'm like, "I'm sorry." I mean, I'm followed by Natalya, which is my favorite diva of all time. Which is weird. My two favorite female wrestlers are, and I don't care what anybody says, Natalya and Veda Scott. They are both cat women. Like, they love cats. It's really weird, and I'm a dog guy.
Hmm. Nothing wrong with those picks, you know. Veda and Natalya, they're very good wrestlers, and yeah, cats are cool. Even though I'm a dog person, too.
Yeah, it's a very... I think I tweeted that once in Veda... favorite it or something, but I love Natalya is by far one of my favorite things. I love about her, just throwing it out there, is like she did the whole thing, which not many wrestlers do, of if you buy her shirt and take a picture of yourself with it, she'll follow, even though she's already followed me. Like, she'll send you an autographed picture. And I was told by my girlfriend just yesterday that my free autograph from Natalya came in. So that's one thing you can only find about certain wrestlers that are awesome. There's certain wrestlers that'll do that, so just don't.
Oh, right now I am followed by the one and only Adam Rose.
I'm sorry.
Hey, don't be a lemon. Be a rosebud.
Don't be a Clemens. Be an airhead.
Touche.
That's the shirt that needs to happen. I tweeted that to Aaron and Jake. That would be a hilarious shirt.
That would be.
I think it was funny.
I might buy it.
I think it was funny at J-Lit of all places. I was wearing my Wade Barrett shirt, the one with the anchor on it and the roses. Frickin' Eric Ryan seen it, and he was like, "Is that a frickin' Adam Rose shirt?" And I go, "No, Wade Barrett, dude." And he goes, "Oh, like, I know me and him are top two people that I know that we just hate Adam Rose. I don't care for that gimmick. I think it's nah."
Nah, you're just a lemon.
No, I mean, I didn't even like Bo Dallas at first. But, like, I like the little things that he does. Like, I forget who he was in a match with, and he was just like, "He's doing his best, okay?" I was like, "Okay." Like, you're putting extra work into it. Like, it's not just, "I'm Bo Dallas. I'm gonna throw out these ad-libs." And I think this past week with Titus O'Neil, and... pats the microphone out of his hand, and he gets out of the ring and picks it up, and he's like, "Oh, Butterfingers, my bad." It's not, I love that. Like, that is awesome.
It is. Well, Justin, I would like to thank you for coming on here to the Juicy Details. It was a pleasure to talk with you. Any final comments you'd like to say to any fans listening?
I mean, I could throw out all my plugs of shows that I'm a part of and everything I'm on, and I will try my best to do this off memory.
Listen, yeah, go ahead.
Listen to the AllWrestling.com Week in Review hosted by Dan the Cannon. weekly show. I mean, the show's long, but it's one-of-a-kind personalities, one-of-a-kind production, people sending in their own phone calls and whatnot. Other shows on this network that I'm a part of, DSJMP, you can actually check their feed. We're trying to work out differences to get the show on the feed without fucking up everything on the account, because that's been a big problem lately. The Spanish Announce Table, another great show. My friend, who goes by the name Captain Awesome, and T-Mac, they record the show live in Kansas at a radio station, and then they piece it together and put. But it's high quality production. They have an interactive segment, which if anybody's seen my tweets, they will recognize this. A hashtag tweet the table, and it's always like funny. Some of the comments that people have, like one of my favorites, I was doing for a while, I was doing Slam City spoilers. And they weren't real spoilers. They were like the concept of Slam City, but making my own spoilers. The first one I did was Zack Ryder does all the jobs. But my second one, which was by far the best one, Slam City spoiler, CM Punk quit his job.
Props to that.
By far the most funniest one I will ever come up with, because nothing will beat that. But that's one of the other shows. I also am part of a movie podcast that's out weekly called Old School at the Movies on the Trending Topics Network. I think that's pretty much it. Always check out AIW. Obviously, we're big fans of theirs. A lot of great people there, excluding Tim Donst. Fuck him. I was really surprised.
You had to throw that
really
one out.
I was surprised
there, huh?
You didn't do a word association with me and threw him in there, because I'd have had fun with that one. And I would have gone over the story of why me and Mike Hopes don't like each other. At least, how do I put it? He might not say that he doesn't like me, but if you're going to block me on Facebook and Twitter, there is something there. And he blocked me from his Tim Donst account, but don't worry, Mike. I found your personal account, and I blocked that. So we're even.
Justin.
Hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is, you know. I'm not going to try to change your opinion, your viewpoint on Tim Donst, you know. But
I mean, I'll throw it out there like this. You didn't go to day two of the J-Lit, but after I won the Veda Scott date auction, yes, a lot of money that I spent there, there was the whole thing of getting on the microphone and cutting a promo.
Did he do it?
No, you had to pay $100 to be a fan. I was going to do. I was going to tell Donst, Mike Hopes, whatever, to get in the ring. I wasn't going to, like, it wouldn't be a fight, because it's like, it's not Hackle and Greg, where Hackle's like, I want to beat you up. I've never said that about him. I don't think he'll ever say that about me. But it's, I want to get him in the ring, get him in front of a crowd, and say, what did I do to cross a personal line with you to block me on Facebook and Twitter? That's all I want. I want him to be in front of everybody. I want to hear his excuse, and then I want to be like, show him why that's bullshit.
I think I would have paid $100 just to see that.
Well, unfortunately, everybody was paying at that time for Hackle to do his promo about Greg.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh yeah,
I heard
about
that.
On my YouTube. It's a shitty version of the video, because I did it from my phone. I uploaded it immediately. Of fucking Hackle challenging Greg to a TLC match at Absolution. Or something. Greg like said something about, like, what would we do, put a high school diploma? Is that what's going to be up there for us to grab? Or something like that. Oh my god.
AIW just needs to pull the trigger already. You know, I mean, come on, this is like the longest standing feud in AIW at this point. You know, something has to happen. Or I did like Josh Prohibition's idea of doing like a intervention of sorts between the two in the ring.
I don't think it's going to be done, because Hackle's a guy that's you got to be like, dude, you understand the concept of professional wrestling, right? And also, while we're on the topic, Santa Claus, not real. And don't get me started on the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy. Just so you know.
What do you mean? The Easter Bunny's real, right?
Not even the one that goes out with Adam Rose.
Whoa. Well, before my mind's blown anymore, Justin, thank you for coming on to the Juicy Details. It was a pleasure to talk
Excellent.
To you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on my network.
Yeah, and, anytime. I don't mean that literally. Yes. And thank you all for listening to another episode of the Juicy Details. Please come back next time.